Welcome to American Indian Living, a program developed by the Native Education and Health Initiative to improve and enhance the health of people throughout the Native communities. American Indian Living is hosted by Dr. David DeRose, a board-certified specialist in both internal medicine and preventive medicine. Dr. DeRose has a wide range of experience with Native health issues, and he's ready today to help you learn more about your health. Here's Dr. DeRose.
Welcome to American Indian Living. I'm Dr. David DeRose. Today we're speaking about a subject that is really getting a lot of attention in Indian country, actually surprisingly so, because we're speaking about an interesting treatment facility, not in the United States, that a number of people here at the National Congress of American Indians in San Diego are talking about. If you're a regular listener to our broadcast, you actually heard a show that we recorded in this very same venue earlier in our time here, where we interviewed Tom Johnston. Tom shared with us his journey to leading world-class facilities like the Mayo Clinic and to Harvard and MIT. But he also talked about a facility called International BioCare in Tijuana, Mexico. We thought that deserved some more attention, and it just so happens that not far from me in the exhibit hall in San Diego are actually folks from International BioCare. I am so glad to have Dr. Rodrigo Rodriguez, and you're the founder of International BioCare. It's great to have you with us, Doctor.
Thank you very much.
And then next to you is Teresa Thames. She's the patient coordinator, or a patient coordinator there. Is that correct?
Yes, there's several of us there, and I'm very happy to be here with you on your show, David.
Well, this is surprising to me. I'm just going to be honest with you. I know in San Diego we're close to Tijuana, but I don't think I've seen you before at the National Congress of American Indians. Is that right?
Probably not. This is actually the second time. We were a year ago in Atlanta.
Okay.
And we felt, I personally felt very much at home.
Uh-huh. Now, why is it that you end up in a setting like this? I mean, I'm curious.
Well, for one very important reason is because we have had Native Americans as patients to International BioCare, and it is through them that we heard about this meeting. We were actually invited a year ago to Atlanta to be at the meeting. And the minute I went in there, I thought, well, this is me.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I have all reasons to be part of American Indian community.
Now, what's interesting to me is I've heard a lot of very encouraging things about your facility, and maybe it's just the people I hang out with, but they're all Native Americans. Teresa, do you help a lot of Native Americans come down to your facility?
We wish there would be more.
Uh-huh.
There's actually just a few that have been coming for many years, and we have helped them out quite tremendously.
I see. So that's the connection. You've got some folks, some of them I think are pretty key people in Indian country that have felt they've gotten a lot of benefit from your care, and so they've been kind of championing your cause. Is that a good
exactly.
summary?
Exactly.
That's a good way to put it. And also because there is a lot of relationship between what we do at the hospital and the whole philosophy of Native Indian life.
Mm-hmm.
So there are many things as way of life and lack of toxins and the way we eat and how we believe in healing from within. All those things together, I mean, make us think very, very much in the same direction that an American Indian will be thinking. We really believe that nature works along with us in order to provide for us health and healing and recovery.
I mean, it's a great comment that you make there, Dr. Rodriguez. For many years, I worked in Oklahoma at a diabetes treatment center. And we heard the same thing because we were using more natural therapies. We had many Native Americans coming, and they said, this is more like our traditional ways than just giving, you know, the drugs and the surgery. And this is what I'm hearing about your facility.
Yeah. In many ways, modern medicine is a foreign intervention. Diabetes is a very good example.
Mm-hmm.
you have diabetes, you go to the doctor, and what the doctor is going to do is going to do testing and he's going to give you drugs. He's never going to address where the diabetes is coming from in the first place. You see, we have, I don't like to use the word betrayed, but we have turned our backs to many of the good things that we used to have in our living.
Hmm.
And it doesn't take too much effort to think that with probably thousands of years of coexistence between our world and our functions, there has to be something that's in concert there that we cannot just come and change in the last 50, 60 years and expect we're not going to pay a price for it. And if we do not start getting back to those roots, if we don't start doing all that, we'll never recover. And diabetes is the perfect example because this is a disease where if you play your cards right, you're going to recover health. You're going to be out of medication. You're going to have energy. You're going to have healing. You're going to have a lot of things. I wish every single diabetic would listen to these words because many of them, but very easy 50% of them, would see a total different life of enjoyment instead of pain just by adhering to certain basic rules that are imprinted in our DNA, our ways of life, and the ways of the American Indians.
No, I mean, this is a powerful message, and it's exactly what we saw in Oklahoma. I mean, we actually had statistics, something like 2/3 of those people who came with type 2 diabetes on insulin were off that insulin within a matter of weeks. But now we're talking about a disease process that you've gotten a lot of attention about, and that is cancer. A lot of people, when they get that diagnosis, if diabetes sounded bad, I mean, cancer sounds much worse. Now, am I misunderstanding that one of the main things that brings people to the facility, Teresa, is cancer?
Primarily, yes, but we have expanded to other autoimmune diseases and degenerative diseases. So we treat arthritis, hepatitis C, chronic fatigue syndrome, and there's a large array of diagnoses. Our rehumanization program is very popular. But yes, primarily it did start out with cancer, and it, I think, continues to be the main diagnosis, but not the only one.
Now, I think everybody, myself included, Dr. Rodriguez, is concerned, well, not concerned, but is interested to learn what kind of training you had and how you ended up opening a facility like International BioCare. Tell us a little bit about your journey.
Oh, absolutely. I'll be very happy to tell you that. This is very simple. When you go to medical school, hopefully you go to medical school because you believe you can do something good for mankind.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost an idealistic thought that you're going to help people to heal, be pain-free, etc., etc. And that's one of the ideas that brought me to medical school. And I wanted to help people. At the same time, you have to think, and that's why I was telling you that I feel very much at home in the world of Native Americans. I come from a mixed family in Mexico, as most Mexicans, where you have a lot of traditional Aboriginal culture that teaches you a lot of things about health and nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
So when I grew up and when I went to medical school, you're very proud of what you're doing. You're very happy with what you're doing, except that it gets to the point where you start seeing that you cannot really help many people, and that many people that you see and you get to love and everything are going to die, and you don't really have anything on hand to do for these people. And then you start getting disappointed. And when you take a good look at things, you wonder, but we could do more things. I remember seeing people doing this or doing that, and it helps. And in traditional folk medicine in Mexico, enemas, for example, or fasting, or simply bed rest, is a major tool for treatment. But that has been completely abandoned in modern medicine. So I started working to see if I could bring these modalities in helping deadly diseases like cancer, and the very least do the life of people a lot easier.
Now, you've really got my interest because I know throughout Indian country here in North America, fasting has been something that's been held in high esteem and it seems like most all tribal traditions. But I don't know that I've heard about enemas being used. You're saying in traditional Mexican bloodlines, you know, we would say inter-American indigenous peoples or aboriginal peoples, they did enemas?
They did enemas, yes.
And how, I mean, I'm curious, how did they deliver the enemas?
Okay, not in the sense that we use them nowadays with big volumes, but smaller volumes.
Really?
Or something like smaller parts of, let's say, like the cactus plant inserted through your rectum. That could produce a bowel movement, a more abundant bowel movement.
Interesting.
So there were things like hot baths or temazcal to produce sweating and so forth. So there were very many ways to help people to be healthy. But when you try to bring those to a regular hospital, that wasn't easy.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
I mean, you don't even have to talk about enemas or fasting, just food.
Right.
I mean, if you look at food in a hospital, it's everything but nourishing. It's not what you want for your patients. So we came to the point where we thought you have to have your own facility.
Hmm.
You have to have a place where you can control the kitchen, where you can control all the nursing staff, where you can do what you really believe in, where you can have a cancer patient fasting, which is going to make some people drop in a regular hospital, but you see the results. And when you start putting all these together, then you see that things start to change. Now, most of the times, people come to the hospital dehydrated, malnourished, in very bad shape. I don't have to tell you that if you go to the doctor, and the doctor tells you, I have bad news for you, you have cancer. You're not going to go out of that office and go for a restaurant and have dinner.
You're not going to have a party.
You're not going to have a party. You're not going to eat, and probably you will not eat for several days.
Mm.
Then they put you in an operating room. Then you have surgery. Then after that, they give you chemotherapy. You're going to be nauseated. You're going to be in bad shape. And nobody turns their eyes to say, and how are you doing?
Hmm.
You see, they are so concentrated, they're so focused in trying to kill that cancer that never stop to think, how is the patient really doing? How can I support his general well-being so his body can fight back? And it's completely false to believe that with an external drug you can defeat a disease without the participation and the support of your own defense system. And I'm going to give you a very simple example.
Okay, please.
If we catch a flu, if we catch a flu or we get a sore throat, you go to the doctor and the doctor says, I'm going to give you an antibiotic and writes a prescription. You take the prescription and 2 days later you feel fine and then you say, wow, that drug was really good. It worked very well. Well, think again. That drug only did probably 50%, if not less, of the job.
Hmm.
It kind of took care of some of the microbial activity and so forth. But then it's your immune system that's going to come in and finalize the job. If you didn't have a good immunity, you're going to be in trouble, no matter how many antibiotics you take. And a good example we saw when we started looking at AIDS.
Okay.
These are people that are immunologically deficient.
Right, right.
And you can literally drown them in antibiotics, and the infection will get worse and worse and worse, and many people will die from it because they didn't have the resources to fight back, to fight off, and to make your treatment really successful. So we have to think in that line, whatever is happening with your health, you have to think of what your own body can do for you, and how can you support that body? Going back to the example of the diabetes, which is so graphic, and I'm sure that we will have time to talk about it, but it's important to think on those lines.
We will do that. We will come back to this example of diabetes, and we'll pull Teresa back into the dialogue, because I know already people are probably wondering, well, how can they take advantage of this different approach to medical care? I'm Dr. David DeRose. We're in the context of NCAI, the National Congress of American Indians, in San Diego, California. We're recording this show in October of 2015. We will be back with more. Stay tuned.
Today's broadcast has been pre-recorded. However, if you have questions about today's show or would like further information, please call 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673. We'll be right back after this.
My name is Florence AQ. For lunch today, I had grilled chicken and squash. I am Zuni Indian, and I have the power to prevent diabetes.
My name is D. Dakota Denesosi. I turned the TV off and took my nieces and nephews for a walk. We saw two jackrabbits, an eagle, and zero cartoons. I'm from the Dene Nation, and I have the power to prevent diabetes.
Science has proven that if we lose as little as 10 pounds by walking briskly for 30 minutes, 5 days a week, and make healthier food choices, we can prevent diabetes.
My name is Barbara Akisakpuk Curtis. I'm losing weight and being more active. I am Alaskan Inupiaq Eskimo, and I have the power to prevent diabetes.
For more information on how to prevent diabetes, talk to your health care provider. For free materials, call the National Diabetes Education Program at 1-800-438-5383 and ask for the power to prevent diabetes. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
This is Meryl Streep. Over the years, I have played some characters you could call controlling, but the truth is, there's so much in life we can't control. But here's something we can. Colorectal cancer. It affects men and women, and it's the second leading cancer killer in the U.S., which is astounding, considering it's almost entirely preventable. Here's how. Most colon cancers start as polyps, and screening helps find polyps so they can be removed before they even turn into cancer. Screening also finds this cancer early, when treatment works best. For me, screening was simple and quick. It was no big deal, except for the huge sense of relief you feel afterwards. There are several tests that you can choose from. If you're 50 or older, you should talk to your doctor. Decide which one's right for you. Take control. Do everything you can to prevent colon cancer. Screening saves lives. It could really save your life. For more information, call 1-800-CDC-INFO.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
You're listening to Dr. David DeRose on American Indian Living. Your comments and questions are welcome. Call now at 1-800-775-HOPE. 1-800-775-4673. Here again is Dr. DeRose.
You're back with Dr. David DeRose in the setting of the National Congress of American Indians. We are recording today from San Diego, California. We're in a convention venue. All kinds of exhibitors from throughout Indian country, including folks from south of the border, two of them sitting right across from me, Dr. Rodrigo Rodriguez and Teresa Thames with International BioCare Hospital and Wellness Center. Teresa, I'm just thinking of people tuning in, and some of them might be interested because Dr. Rodriguez is really sharing a philosophy that I think resonates throughout Indian country. But I know the first reaction of a lot of people is Mexico. I mean, that's a dangerous place. I mean, I'm here in the United States. Why would I want to go there? Are those kind of sentiments that you've heard about before?
Yes, we receive calls from all over the world. And at some point in the conversation, the security issue does come up because we are in the news. And I always reassure everybody that at BioCare Hospital, we have never had any security issues. We're in a residential area. We're not in the dangerous part of town. And, of course, we're not hanging out with the bad guys.
Okay.
So we pick up our patients on the U.S. side of the border, take them in our vans to the hospital. So the patient is never alone. And there at the facility, we have security. So that is not to be a concern for anyone.
Okay, so a person doesn't even have to figure out how to get into Mexico. You actually pick them up?
That is correct. From the airport, the Amtrak station, the Greyhound, some people drive and leave their car part, and we drive them into Mexico. There's lots of options. There's brave ones that drive their own cars into Mexico, and we have secure parking for them as well. So there's many options. We really cater to everybody's needs.
Okay. And why are they brave to drive their own car in there?
The drivers sometimes are a bit.
Okay. I just wanted to clarify that.
Yes.
So let's come back, Doctor, to basically talking about your philosophy in the facility, because what I hear Teresa saying is, you know, we should take note to what you're doing. Don't just tune it out because you folks are in Mexico. Now, just geographically, I have not been to your facility. So Tijuana is fairly close to where we're at in San Diego, right? How far away are you?
I could tell you that Tijuana and San Diego are the same city, the same community.
Okay.
This would be like St. Paul and Minneapolis. Instead of a river, we have an international border. But we can literally walk from the hospital to the United States.
Okay.
So we're only 5 miles into Mexico.
Uh-huh.
And but still, we normally pick up all our patients, drive them to the hospital. If they want to go shopping or go around, we drive them around. Mainly because I think it's a lot easier for people. They don't have to figure it out or ask questions mm-hmm. or ask for directions. We know where they want to do, so we can cater to those needs.
Okay. So let's come back to talking about what you do there. You've been sharing with us your own journey, Dr. Rodriguez, how you basically are looking at your own traditional roots, your own roots in indigenous bloodlines that you have there in Central America, and you're saying, you know, there's a lot that conventional medicine can't do for people. You want to help us look at this example of diabetes as one way of understanding the power of natural therapies. Walk us through that.
Okay. One thing, there are a couple of facts very important. One of them is 7 out of every 10 of us is going to die because of chronic degenerative disease. Mm. That's cancer, that's heart disease, that's strokes, high blood pressure, diabetes. So those are probably the 5 major ones. And we're going to die, and this is a very important fact, from a preventable disease. Mm. We're going to die because something in our body is not working well, because we haven't done our homework.
Okay.
One of the big problems that we have in our lives is we were not given an owner's manual.
Fair enough.
Okay. So we don't know what to do. I mean, people don't know what to do. We still discussing whether we should eat fats or not fats or sugars or what kind of sugars. There is not a manual of what's a good diet for humankind. If you go to your vet, he'll know a lot about how to feed a cat or a racehorse. Those animals are sacred, and they're very well taken care of.
Okay.
But humans, I mean, you just fill the tank with whatever you can find, and good luck. And what we have seen is that luck has really been tough, because we have a lot of genes, particularly people with this sort of ancestry, because we have gone through very tough times. Mm-hmm. We have gone through times where food was not abundant, dryness and droughts and so forth. So we needed to create a way to protect ourselves and save, whenever we had the chance to eat, save energy, save food, and so forth. But now we live in a world that if anything is abundant, it's calories.
That's right.
So we're getting a lot of food, tons of food, much more calories than what we really need. And our body still thinks it should be wise to save them just in case. And we are getting heavier, and if not totally fat, diabetes has become epidemic.
Mm-hmm.
If we continue at the same rate, by 2050, this is around the corner, every American is going to be diabetic. And you see that in Aboriginal population.
No, I mean, I think you've done a very excellent job of describing what researchers have called the thrifty gene hypothesis, and some of our researchers and health professionals will know this, but what Dr. Rodriguez is explaining is exactly what much of the research has shown and what many have concluded, and that is that indigenous peoples in many parts of the world, whether it's in the South Pacific, whether it's in the Americas, actually were survivors because they had genes that could efficiently store calories, which has now become a liability.
They are a big liability. They're actually, they could be an extermination gene. If we don't learn the lesson, we're going to really be the culprit of the disappearance of our own races. And because we're passing this on to our children, and you just have to look to take a look at our children, to what we're doing to them, because we have abandoned the traditional ways of eating, and we have just come to think that the more we give them, the better off they're going to be, and that's not true. What we have to do is we have to sit, educate ourselves. We don't have an honors manual, but there are many resources that will teach us how to do this. And you can see, for example, in this convention that there are booths that they talk about it, where you can sit and have your blood pressure taken and your body mass index taken, and review what you can do with your life. And there's so many more things that you can do to make your life enjoyable and prevent those diseases that eventually are going to kill us.
Very good point. Now, I know that you folks are actively doing things with diet. We've heard your background and your concern with the poor diets that were characteristic of hospitals for many years. I know many hospitals are trying to improve that. But, Teresa, I noticed at your booth, you folks actually have food available. Now, I've been at other booths and other conventions. Now, I haven't wandered around the exhibit hall much because I've been so focused on doing radio programs. So hopefully it's better here at this venue. But sometimes I'll be at conventions and they'll have all kinds of candies and sweets and things like that, maybe soft drinks. But at your booth, you have something that looks very natural. Would you tell us, Teresa, what you're giving out as far as food?
Yes, we made it a point to have something nutritious and something very Mexican. Amaranth is the main ingredient in those amaranth bars. That's what you're referring to. And they are baked with a little bit of honey that holds them together. They put some seeds in there and some dried fruit. So everything in there is quite nutritious. Amaranth is a grain used by the Aztecs for many centuries. It's high in protein and amino acids, so it's very nutritious. Everything in that bar is highly nutritious, and we're proud to share that with the convention here.
So, Dr. Rodriguez, is that kind of emblematic of your approach to nutrition? Are you trying to call people back to these more natural, especially plant-based foods? Is that part of your philosophy?
Absolutely. If you're ill, if you go to traditional Indian medicine, what you're going to find is that one of the things that they're going to do is they're going to pay very close attention to what you're going to be fed.
Okay.
And how much you're going to drink and what drinks you're going to have.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you go to a regular doctor and you ask your doctor, what can I eat? He's going to say, whatever you want. There's not going to be any attention whatsoever. But we have to go back to those roots, because those roots are the ones that have held us alive for generations. And what we have to do is look back to them and do it again. If you go to American Indians, for example, and again, I think we will have time to discuss what American Indians can do good with their diets.
Wonderful. We are going to come back and talk about some of the secrets that Dr. Rodriguez and his team have been putting together that can make a difference as far as your health. We're especially going to be talking in our next segments about cancer care. What are some of the things that might not be on the conventional table or the conventional menu that you may want to think about including if you're dealing with a malignancy? You don't want to go away. We've got more coming just in a few minutes from the National Congress of American Indians. Dr. Rodriguez and Teresa Thames are not going away. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more. I'm Dr. DeRose.
American Indian Living will continue in a moment. If you have questions or comments about today's pre-recorded broadcast, please call 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673.
1-800-273-4673.
I'm Karen, and two very important people in my life, my husband and my father, have been diagnosed with atrial fibrillation. Atrial fibrillation, or AFib, is a type of irregular heartbeat. People with AFib are 5 times more likely to have a stroke than people without AFib. Talk with a healthcare professional today about your risk and learn how to manage AFib to prevent a stroke. Visit stroke.org/AFib to learn more.
Did you know that 63% of homes contain allergens from cockroaches? And that mice spread potent asthma triggers found in 82% of homes? It's true. Common household pests are major offenders on the list of indoor allergens. Learn what you can do to help your family breathe easier. Visit pestworld.org. A public service message from the National Pest Management Association and the Asthma and Allergy Foundation of America.
You're listening to Dr. David DeRose on American Indian Living. Your comments and questions are welcome. Call now at 1-800-775-HOPE, 1-800-775-4673. Here again is Dr. DeRose.
Welcome back to the second half of today's show, American Indian Living, from the venue of the National Congress of American Indians. We are in San Diego, California. It's 2015 when we're recording the show, and you can hear the sound in the background of the activities here, whether it's one of our neighboring exhibitors with their roulette-style wheel giving away gifts, or whether it's people talking in some of the booths around us. It's an exciting place to be. And we're talking with a very exciting program, International BioCare. I'm really just learning about it. I've never been to the facility. I can't tell you that I've been down there and done extensive research, and I'm sending all my patients down there, but I'm definitely intrigued about what I'm hearing. And I'm so glad to have the founder of that institution, Rodrigo Rodriguez. He's an MD, a medical doctor trained in Mexico City. Is that right, Dr. Rodriguez?
That's correct.
And then Teresa Thames next to him, who is one of the patient care coordinators. I mean, I think that's wonderful. I don't know a lot of facilities spend as much energy as you do trying to make it easy for people to integrate with what you do. Is that just my perception, or have other people told you the same thing, Teresa?
Well, this is a very satisfying job, especially because I see how much we help our population that comes to BioCare Hospital, and it just warms my heart to see the improvement in their symptoms and their just general well-being. It's just very gratifying.
Now, I've gathered that one of the reasons for that improvement is the dietary approach. And Dr. Rodriguez, as we stepped away from our last segment, you were sharing with us the traditional native approach to diet and how you're trying to incorporate that. Give us a little idea of what that looks like.
I'm going to give you an idea that suits very well with American Indians, because that's one of the things that we're doing at a hospital nowadays that I learned from American Indians. I could speak, and any doctor could speak to you for hours about the importance of the health of the intestinal tract, mm-hmm. the importance of those good bacteria working to produce the food for the cells of the colon, and how this health can be translated into immune performance and general health. And these bacteria would not have a healthy life if we didn't have a healthy diet. And one of the great things that we have in the American Indian culture is the wild rice. Wild rice is filled with the perfect fiber for those bacteria to work and be healthy. And that translates into a healthy colon and healthy intestinal tract. And that translates into a healthy white blood cell population. White blood cells are trained in the intestinal tract. So this is like the camp for our soldiers to fight for our own health. So when we're talking cancer, this is important for us to keep an eye on those facts, because we know that intestinal tract would translate in health.
Now, I'm just going to be honest with you. Probably 10 or 15 years ago, people would think, well, here's a guy with, you know, kind of simplistic ideas and trying to call us back to nature. But what you're telling us right now, Dr. Rodriguez, This is cutting-edge medical science. There is so much coming out in the medical literature about the microbiome, speaking about the bacteria and the things that live in the intestine. And what you're telling us is one of the things that helps that be healthy is what we eat, and those indigenous foods, those plant foods, are especially powerful. So is this a huge part of your cancer treatment program, just what people eat?
The diet is a very important part of our diet. The other part is that the American population is nowadays a deficient, nutritionally speaking, population.
Okay.
There are very good reports from January 2015 that tell us that 40% of Americans are deficient in critical nutrients,
wow,
like vitamin A and B and C and minerals like magnesium. How can we be healthy if we don't have the nutritional capacity to stave off disease?
Mm.
So what we have to do is we have to replenish those gaps. We have to bridge all those gaps in order to attain health again. Now, we're trying. Remember, we have a person with cancer. We have a person with a deadly disease. We want an immune system that works, and we want resources in the body. When you fight a cancer, you're at war. And I always say, when you fight a war, you need soldiers, you need equipment, you need logistics, you need communication, you need fuel. All that has to be provided for your body to fight this war. If you don't have it, you are going to have limited success or you're going to fail.
Mm.
And that's exactly where all this thing comes in. Now, we're a hospital. So if you're deficient, I have the capacity to put in your vein today what I think is necessary for your body.
Okay. So you're basically giving nutritional supplements, if you will, intravenously to some of these people who maybe can't eat because of their cancer, at least initially.
Many people with cancer, and unfortunately for those that might have cancer listening today, they know that food is not appetizing to
mm-hmm.
them.
Mm-hmm.
It many times is rejected. There is a constant fight between the family and the patient for at least one little spoonful. And they cannot eat because they don't feel well, because
mm-hmm.
they are nauseous. When you do it intravenously, when you start all these sort of nutrition, then you're going to see how energy comes back, how they feel better, how everything starts to function, how the immune system becomes active. And then when you add all the more specific therapies, you get what you're looking for. You get success.
Now, I was fascinated. Many of our listeners who are regulars have heard our interview with Tom Johnston, one of your patients, who spoke so highly of the experience he had at your facility. Tom was really sharing, and actually I was introduced to him in the context of actually another one of your patients, both Native American individuals, and this other fellow said, this guy just looked terrible when he came to the facility, and you started apparently using these nutritional approaches with him. He did mention you use conventional therapy, some, I think, as he called it, lower dose chemotherapy. Is that pretty common that you will use some of these conventional agents as well?
Not pretty common, but when there's need to do it, yes.
Okay. So the foundation is more on the natural therapies, but at the same time, if you say there's a conventional therapy that we're going to use in this approach, we're going to try to limit the amount, presumably you're trying to get the benefits but limiting the toxicity.
Let me put it this way. The specific therapies like chemotherapy, even if you're going to do it, or surgical procedure or whatever, have to be built upon a good foundation, a basement that's supported by health, nutrition, and immunological performance. On top of that, you do what you want, and you're going to have much better results because you have an immune system, again, that's going to respond to the challenge, and you have a body that can withstand a lot of the insults of more aggressive therapy. So side effects are going to be lessened, and success is going to be higher.
Okay. Now, one of the interesting things, and I know of a number of centers that are using less conventional approaches, as well as state-of-the-art research centers that are using an approach that Tom mentioned, and that is sometimes called hyperthermia, artificially raising the body temperature. Now, I gathered from Tom, and maybe I came to the wrong conclusion, but I gathered that this may be one of the primary treatments that you use for cancer there. Is that correct?
Well, it's probably one of the more sophisticated, if I can say that, ways of treatment. But going back to the basics, it's a very basic approach. Fever is a mechanism of defense. Mm-hmm. Every time your body's temperature goes up, enzyme activity go up, activity of the immune system goes up, phagocytic activity of white blood cells becomes much more active. And there are many good things that happen in your body when your temperature goes up. And actually, there are many fever therapies in folk medicine that can help a person conquer health.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember earlier, in fact, Teresa, you helped me at one of the breaks, because Dr. Rodriguez made mention of a term in Spanish of a traditional healing practice. So break that down for us, because some others may have been in the same position scratching their heads like me.
Yes, he mentioned the word temazcal, and the translation into English is a sweat lodge, which we're all, I think, familiar with.
Right, at least in Indian country. Now, so that was part of the traditional inter-American and Central American practices as well.
That's correct. Even, for example, Egyptians used to bury people on sand in the desert in the summer for the treatment of certain diseases. 1937 Nobel Prize was given to a person that discovered that by giving people malaria, you could destroy the microbe of syphilis. Of course, then you had to take care of the malaria.
Right, right.
But the lesser of the evils, but that proves that fever in itself can give you fantastic results for many illnesses.
Now, you know, I've heard for many years about malaria therapy for syphilis, but I never knew that historical detail, that in 1937, the Nobel Prize went to the person who made that connection, huh?
Correct. Because actually, hyperthermia, as we do it, for example, can destroy Hep C virus, can destroy HIV virus, can destroy microbial infestation of the body of different kinds, like Lyme's disease and that type of thing.
So tell us how this works, because Tom was sharing his experience, but of course he's not a medical professional. Tell us how you administer hyperthermia there.
Okay. Of course, raising the temperature of the body at first glance gives you the temptation to say, well, I'm going to get into a sauna bath or with heat lamps or anything like that. But we have to remember that, number one, you want the temperature being raised in the core of your body.
Okay.
You don't care about the surface, number one. Number two, that we have an excellent insulation system. Actually, that's why we can live in the equator, or we can live in northern Alaska, because we have this fantastic insulation. So what we do is we raise the temperature from the inside out.
Okay.
So we take a little bit of blood, just like a kidney machine, but instead of cleansing the blood, we raise the temperature gradually, and when we reach the temperature that we want, which is about 105 degrees Fahrenheit, we leave it like that for 2 hours. Then we bring it down, and the patient goes to recovery.
Now, of course, one of the big issues with hyperthermia has always been dealing with the brain effects, and the brain does not tolerate heat very well. What kind of mechanisms do you have to have in place so the brain doesn't overheat and we have febrile seizures or things like this?
Well, that's why our limit is 105.
Okay.
If we didn't have the brain in between, I think we could go to 110 very successful, because the body actually can take heat very well. Good cells are ready to take heat without any trouble, except the brain. That's the limiting factor. That's why you only go to 105.
Okay. So you don't actually do anything specifically to cool the brain, because you're only bringing the body temperature up to 105.
No, it would be very difficult to just cool the brain. Again, because even if you put, let's say, an ice pack in your head, that's not going to be enough to change the temperature in the core of the brain.
Okay, very interesting. And you'll do these treatments for 2 hours.
Yes.
Wow. And the person is under anesthesia at the time?
Under sedation, yeah.
Wow.
It's going to be a lot easier for them.
Okay. Well, I'm glad that you and Teresa and the team there are looking out for the patients, not only trying to improve their health, but also make sure they have a good experience. Listen, we have one segment left. I know there's still a lot of questions, and I think many of them probably relate to what Teresa can help us with. She's going to walk us through some of the questions you may be having. We'll do that in our final segment of today's edition of American Indian Living. I'm Dr. David DeRose. Stay tuned. We will be right back.
Today's broadcast has been pre-recorded. However, if you have questions about today's show or would like further information, please call 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673. We'll be right back after this.
What I say, you already know, but you don't believe. You won't accept, you don't conceive. When you're inside your car, you feel safest of all. Are you safe? Are you? 2 tons of sheet metal in your hands. 2 tons don't run on autopilot. You have a mission. It's no collision. Hold the phone. Don't text. You're angling to be next. Oh, you've done it before. What's the harm? Just this once. There's no alarm. Got your hands on the wheel? No big deal. Brothers and sisters, you won't see it coming. You're off the road. Your life explodes. It's not worth it. Don't do it. You only think there's nothing to it. Put it down, hang up, pay attention to highway action. Behind the wheel, there is no such thing as a small distraction. Join the conversation at decidetodrive.org, a public service message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons, who would rather help keep your bones strong than put them back together.
We are here to say a word about cancer.
When you talk to someone who has been diagnosed with cancer,
be positive.
Be supportive.
That's it. Stop right there.
Don't start telling them about your Uncle Vern.
Or the next door neighbor.
Don't be grim.
Try not to disappear either.
Don't cross to the other side of the street.
Don't stop calling.
Don't cry.
Don't ever say, you're living my worst nightmare.
You know who you are.
Here's the important part.
Be positive.
Be positive.
Sé positivo.
Say these words.
You will do great.
Keep calling.
Check in.
Be a friend.
Or be a new friend.
Be a supportive.
Positive friend.
Smile.
Try not to be afraid.
Or act afraid.
Fear is not useful.
Be a funny, hopeful human being.
If you come across cancer,
let it transform you into your most positive self.
And inspire.
Urge. Fortify.
Rally. Encourage someone to do great.
This message brought to you by Cancer Survivors.
For more information, to hear stories, or share your own, visit DoGreatCampaign.com. Do great.
You're listening to Dr. David DeRose on American Indian Living. Your comments and questions are welcome. Call now at 1-800-775-HOPE. 1-800-775-4673. Here again is Dr. DeRose.
We're back in the home stretch of today's edition of American Indian Living. Dr. David DeRose and two members of the team at International BioCare Hospital and Wellness Center in Tijuana, Mexico, are sitting across from me. The venue is, if you're just joining us, the National Congress of American Indians. It's San Diego, California, and we're recording in October of 2015. Dr. Rodriguez and Teresa, you've been sharing with us some stuff, and I'm sure there are people who've been tuning in, and Teresa, they say, well, I mean, this is all very interesting, but I don't even have the money to call, make that expensive long-distance call to Mexico to get more information. What can they do?
We have a toll-free number.
I mean, toll-free even in the U.S.?
U.S. and Canada.
Okay, and what is that?
It is 1-800-701-7345.
Okay, so let me see if I've got that right. 1-800-701-7345?
Yes.
Okay, so anyone can call. And will they end up talking with someone like you?
Yes, or one of the other coordinators, and then we can transfer the call to one of the physicians. It's very important that the patient speaks to one of our physicians in order to determine which of the many treatments that we have at BioCare Hospital will be of most benefit to them. So once that's determined, then we go into seeing how many days or weeks they're going to be with us. And, of course, the cost. Everybody has questions if their insurance will cover. And we do have insurance coordinators that work out of Houston, Texas. They're very good at collecting. They've been doing this for decades, mm-hmm. and that's who we rely on to help us with the insurance. And a lot of our patients are very happily surprised when they are reimbursed for their medical treatments at BioCare Hospital.
Really? So even though you folks are in Mexico, U.S. insurance companies are paying for the care many times?
Yes, because we're a legitimate certified hospital. So they're getting legitimate certified treatment. So the insurance companies are, I would say, 80% of the cases. If you have a private insurance company, that they're going to reimburse you for the expense.
Now, this isn't something you're just talking about, like a year's worth of experience. How long have you been doing this, Dr. Rodriguez?
We started working as a team trying to look for a way to do things that we wanted to do in 1976.
Wow.
And we are from our present location since 1985.
Okay.
We have been there for a long time.
Wow, so 30 years. And Teresa, you've been doing this for quite a while too.
I joined the team in 1995. I've been there for 20 years this year.
Now, one of the things you mentioned at one of the breaks that was very encouraging to me, Teresa, you mentioned that even with 20 years of experience at International BioCare, you are one of the newer people on the block. Is that how you put it?
Yes, because most of my coworkers have been working there many more years than I have.
Now, that tells me, you know, from knowing a little bit about organizational dynamics, that you guys are doing something right as far as how you work as a team.
Well, let me tell you, healthcare cannot be taken lightly.
Hmm.
Normally, when somebody even talks about joining the team, I always say, look, this is a very special team. It's very goal-oriented. So don't feel bad if in a month or so I tell you, I don't think you belong here. It's not that you're not good. Is that you are not committed to the same goal.
Hmm.
And one of the things that I'm very proud of, that really makes my day very frequently, is somebody that comes and says, thank you, I got what I wanted. I got what I expected. This is a great team. Everybody was great. Staff is fantastic. Because that's why you go to a hospital. You already have a big problem.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You don't want any more.
Excellent. Well, I know a lot of people, as we've been talking, come to your facility for cancer. You've mentioned that you also have people coming for autoimmune diseases. Some of those autoimmune diseases may not respond to, let's say, the hyperthermia we were talking about. Now, I don't know if you're doing something unusual, but one autoimmune disease that we see more frequently in North America than you do in Central America is multiple sclerosis, or MS. And traditionally, we've seen people do very poorly in MS when their body is heated. So I'm presuming that you're always individualizing things for each patient, right?
You're absolutely correct. Actually, hyperthermia is basically for either cancer or chronic infections, like
okay.
I was talking about, like not for everybody. Autoimmune diseases have a total different protocol. And if they call that phone number and they talk to us, we can send them a full information brochure that, believe me, is not advertising. It's what we do, why we do it.
Wow.
And the rationale for them to understand. That's one. The other thing is we have an email address. And I always ask people to send their questions. If you have a medical question and you want a doctor to read it and give you an honest-to-God answer, just drop a line and we will answer you personally within 24, 48 hours maximum. And you will not have to pay anything. If you don't want to give me your name, don't give me your name.
Hmm.
But I truly believe that everybody should have access to a doctor to ask questions, simple questions or complicated questions. And I will give you the best possible advice of what to do or what to look for in your area and to try to solve your problem.
So, Teresa, what is that email address? How does someone get a question answered by a real live physician?
Okay, the email address is the word doctor, spelled out, D-O-C-T-O-R, at bio, B as in boy, I-O, care, C-A-R-E, the whole word hospital, spelled out,
okay,
dot com.
So the domain is biocarehospital.com. And that's your website as well, if
that
I want to...
That is correct, uh-huh.
Okay, so, but if I want to email doctor, D-O-C-T-O-R, at biocarehospital.com.
That is correct, David.
Wow. So basically, you guys are, I mean, we're on something like 150 stations. You sure you want this going out there? I mean, you may get a lot of people.
Of course.
Okay, okay.
Of course. One of the things I love is to read people's concern. Actually, I congratulate everybody that does this, because that tells me they have an interest in helping their life. And this is probably one of the most important lessons of this whole thing. If you yourself don't put an effort to solve your health issues, nobody's going to do it for you.
Good point.
Not even your doctor. You have to start yourself. You have to be concerned about yourself and educate yourself about it.
I'm going to be perfectly frank with you, Dr. Rodriguez. I'm very encouraged by one of the big messages that I hear coming through. And it's, I mean, there's a number of things that are encouraging to me. But one is, for many years in the medical community, we've empowered people with certain diseases. Today, there's a lot of programs that empower people with diabetes to take control of their diabetes. We've done a lot over the years with empowering people who have cardiovascular diseases, heart attacks, with cardiac rehab. We train them to be an ally in their treatment. But so often when it comes to cancer, we basically treat people like they're victims, like there's nothing that they can do. And I really hear you saying, look, you need to be involved in the treatment process, and there's things that you can do that make a difference. You're not just a victim who we're going to do these things to you, like chemotherapy and radiation and surgery. So I really appreciate that kind of what I sense is an underlying philosophy of what you're doing.
That's absolutely correct. I think that nobody's a victim, okay? And what you have to do is you have to say, okay, this is what's happening to me, and that's what I always tell people. Okay, let's not analyze this and that. Let's just say, okay, this is where we are. Where should we go from here on? And how you're going to help me, and how I'm going to help you, because that's what makes a difference.
Now, I've got to ask another question, Teresa, and maybe this is just how I think, but I know a lot of people, if they're thinking about going down to Mexico for treatment, they're going to say, but I don't speak Spanish. They probably just had the two people at the facility who speak English on the radio show, and everyone else is going to be speaking to me in Spanish, and I'll have to use, you know, Google Translator. Is that the case?
Not at all, David, not at all. All of our staff is bilingual.
Okay.
From the drivers to the physicians, the nurses, the kitchen staff, everybody is bilingual.
So I don't need to take a Spanish course before I come down and visit you?
Not at all.
Okay. Listen, you guys are an inspiration. And I don't know enough about what you're doing to give an unqualified recommendation, but I'm sure encouraged by what I hear you doing and what you're trying to do. Any final comments, Dr. Rodriguez, as we close out the show?
No, I just have to thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk to this community that I'm beginning to love, and I know that you have me here to stay. I'm looking forward to the next convention.
Thank you so much. Teresa, one more time, contact information for your facility.
Our toll-free number is 1-800-701-7345, and our email address is doctor@biocarehospital.com, and our website being biocarehospital.com. We welcome all inquiries.
Thank you, Teresa. Thank you, Dr. Rodriguez. We have got to go. That's it for today's edition of American Indian Living. I'm Dr. David DeRose, as always, hoping that today's show helps you have the very best of health.
This is Life Talk Radio.